A Greek temple made of glass. That was his first impression. The building was filled with row upon row of vertical crystalline columns, about a meter wide and stretching from floor to ceiling. There were hundreds of them, marching away into the darkness beyond the reach of his light. Norton walked towards the nearest column and directed his beam into its interior. Refracted, as through a cylindrical lens, the light fanned out on the far side to be focused and refocused, getting fainter with each repetition in the array of pillars beyond. He felt that he was in the middle of some complicated demonstration in optics.
"Very pretty," said the practical Mercer. "But what does it mean? Who needs a forest of glass pillars?"
Norton rapped gently on one column. It sounded solid, though more metallic than crystalline. He was completely baffled, and so followed a piece of useful advice he had heard long ago. When in doubt, say nothing and move on. As he reached the next column, which looked exactly like the first, he heard an exclamation of surprise from Mercer.
"I could have sworn this pillar was empty. Now there's something inside it."
Norton glanced quickly back.
"Where?" he said. "I don't see anything."
He followed the direction of Mercer's pointing finger. It was aimed at nothing. The column was still completely transparent.
"You can't see it," said Mercer incredulously. "Come around this side." "Damn, now I've lost it." "What's going on here?" demanded Calvert.
It was several minutes before he got even the first approximation to an answer. The columns were not transparent from every angle or under all illuminations. As one walked around them, objects would suddenly flash into view, apparently embedded in their depths, like flies in amber, and would then disappear again. There were dozens of them, all different. They looked absolutely real and solid, yet many seemed to occupy the identical volume of space.
"Holograms," said Calvert. "Just like a museum on Earth."
That was the obvious explanation, and therefore Norton viewed it with suspicion. His doubts grew as he examined the other columns and conjured up the images stored in their interiors. Hand tools, though for huge and peculiar hands, containers, small machines with keyboards that appeared to have been made for more than five fingers, scientific instruments, startlingly conventional domestic utensils, including knives and plates, which, apart from their size, would not have attracted a second glance on any terrestrial table. They were all there, with hundreds of less identifiable objects, often jumbled up together in the same pillar. A museum, surely, would have some logical arrangement, some segregation of related items. This seemed to be a completely random collection of hardware.